Welcome to the Parsha Perspective. Each week, we will delve deep in a weekly Torah portion to find a practical and insightful way to enhance your daily life. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Rabbi Shalom Yemini, and each week we'll look into the weekly Torah portion to find practical and insightful ways to enhance your daily life. This week's Parsha Perspective is in honor of our homeland, Eretz Yisrael. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may God protect our brave soldiers, and may God return all the hostages from Gaza immediately. This week's Parsha Perspective is in honor of the Refu Shalema of Rav Amitai Ben Shoshana and Hinda Bas Adol. May they experience a speedy and complete recovery. This week's Parsha Perspective is in loving memory of Edward ben Ephraim, Shlomo ben Edward, and Yerachmiel Daniel ben Gedaliah. May their souls be uplifted and may their memories be a blessing. This week's Torah portion is Parshas Vayakel, commanded to unite. Our Parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu descending down Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, with the second pair of Luchas, the second tablets. He did so only after successfully attaining forgiveness from God for the sin of the golden calf. He gathered the Jewish nation to teach them about the intricate laws of constructing the Mishkan. He explains that Bezalel and Eliyahu were chosen by God to oversee and manage the construction of the Mishkan. The Torah then goes into complex detail on the building of the Mishkan and its components, from the beams and sockets that comprise the walls to the priestly garments that were worn during the service. However, a question comes to mind. The Torah uses a rather unique term to describe the nation assembling around Moshe Rabbeinu. The Parsha uses and begins with the word Vayakel, and Moshe gathered the people to remind them about the holiness, about the sanctity of the Shabbos. The term Vayakel is used just three times in the entire Torah, twice in our book of the Torah, Sefer Shemais, and once in Sefer Bemidbar. Many words can describe people gathering, like Vayasaf, and he gathered. Yet the Torah chooses to use Vayakel, the word, to recount how the nation assembled around Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does the Torah use such a unique and rare term to relate how the Jewish people gathered and assembled at Moshe Rabbeinu's command? Rashi, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, the leading Torah commentary, gives a simple explanation. He answers that the term Vayakel is associated with a command or an order, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the Jewish nation to assemble to hear what God had instructed him while he was on the mountain for the third time for 40 days. As previously stated, the Parsha begins the day after Moshe descended from Har Sinai, from Mount Sinai, and this was the final time when he successfully obtained forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf. However, the Aruch HaMakadosh, Rav Chaim ben Attar, a Moroccan commentary and Kabbalist, gives a deeper and more profound explanation. He writes that it is no coincidence that the Torah uses the term Vayakel as it changes the narrative from the previous use. The other Vayakel in our book of the Torah, Sefer Shemais, is when the nation aggressively surrounded Moshe Rabbeinu's brother Aaron, the high priest, to force him to build a golden calf, to build an Egel Azav. The Pasuk writes, Vayakel ha'am al Aaron, vayomer elav, kum aseilanu elikim, asher yelech lefanenu. They surrounded Aaron HaKohen, and they said, make for us a God who shall go before us, as the person who brought us from Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu, is lost and moved on. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked his brother, why did he listen to their demands? He responded that he was aggressively surrounded and was forced to fulfill their wishes. The same mob killed their nephew, their sister's son, Hur, for attempting to stop them from fulfilling their sinful desires. The Aruch HaMakadosh explains that the Vayakel of our Parsha reframes the focus and energy of the nation's gathering. Previously, they assembled to force, to pressure those who did not want to join them to take part in their wicked sin. And now, with that same spirit, with that same determination, they assemble to build a home, to build a dwelling place for God. The Aruch HaChaim continues that Vayakel not only indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu reframed the narrative, but he also reunited the nation with a common goal to build the Mishkan. Despite the fact that they were sinning, the Jewish people were united when they worshipped the Egel Azav, the golden calf. They danced and ate together as some built a Mizbeach, an altar, and offered sacrifices in celebration of their sin. And when Moshe Rabbeinu descended the mountain, he punished those directly involved in making the golden calf, while others united to seek God's forgiveness. The Jewish nation had a collective understanding of how serious, how grave their mistake was, and they were like one. They were united as one people as they begged God for mercy and for compassion. However, the spirit of unity and community began to fade and wear off just 90 days after they sinned with the golden calf. Their differences became more evident as they examined the motivation for their sinful actions. Some took responsibility for their inactions, while others blamed the crowd for enticing them to sin, for enticing them to rebel against the Creator, the Master of the universe. And hence the nation was divided. The nation was disconnected despite experiencing unity at a level they never experienced before. The Yerach Chaim concludes that the Torah uses the word Vayakel to indicate the purpose of this assembly. They were gathered not only to be reminded of the holiness, of the sanctity of the Shabbos, or how to build the Mishkan, but to reunify, to realign their spirit and focus, to awaken their collective passion for each other as they realize that they are just one family chosen by God to be His representatives, to be His ambassadors of kindness and light in this world. The profound unity that Moshe Rabbeinu encouraged amongst the nation, turning them from divisiveness to collective purpose, mirrors the unity that we must strive for today as we face the fight for our very existence. We are already 5 months since the horrific attacks on October 7th. And while our soldiers are fighting and our hostages remain captive, the level of unity amongst the Jewish people worldwide has noticeably declined. Protests and demonstrations are resuming as politics take the center stage in our fight for our survival. And while our differences are clear and the contentions real, they do not define us. Our enemies do not discriminate based on the nuances that divide us. To them, our distinctions are irrelevant. And while it is a fundamental aspect of the human nature to notice the variance that makes us unique, they do not encapsulate the entirety of who we are. Our collective identity, when viewed through the lens of those who wish to do us harm, is a testimony to our true nature. And such an understanding demonstrates a powerful lesson that is all too easy to forget amid our daily struggles. When we are united, our potential is endless. We are capable of achieving miracles like the Jewish nation experienced during the Purim story. And we become one, truly, once again. And for the sake of Jewish continuity, God requires from us the same compassion, the same understanding, and the same unity as He did from the Jewish nation in the desert. God needed us to realize that we are truly one and responsible for each other. And this exact requirement is necessary now more than ever as we desperately seek the Geula Amitzvah Shlema, the ultimate redemption. There's a powerful quote about unity. Unity is not uniformity. It is the symphony of our differences played in harmony. Have a great weekend and good Shabbos.
Thank you for tuning in to The Parsha Perspective. Check out our website, theparshaperspective.com. Send thoughts and comments to theparshaperspective@gmail.com. Till next time, thanks for listening.